And welcome to Minute 88 of Season 8 of Movie Our Minute, the daily podcast where we foobar our way through the 1998 Steven Spielberg award-winning film Saving Private Ryan, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me once again today is, from the Bat Minute, John Parker, a.k.a. Peter Parker.
Oh, you better believe I grew up getting called Peter Parker the whole time.
I little did I know that you were more of a DC fan than a Marvel fan.
Yeah, I actually always was, you know, and I know that might be controversial these days, but even as a kid, I was into Batman more than I was ever into the others. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. I enjoy Marvel. It's not that I don't, but if I have to choose, I will definitely choose DC superheroes.
I'm the same. But, you know, if I'm picking a Marvel character I like a lot, I'd be picking Spider-Man. He's pretty good.
I'm trying to think of who I would pick. I before the movie Guardians of the Galaxy came out, I never even knew about them. And I love the Guardians. You know, I think they're great.
They're my favorite Marvel thing, yeah.
Yeah, mine too. And if you talk about the movies, those are my favorite of the movies also.
Same.
I like Doctor Strange. I like the way that he deals with time and stuff like that. You know, I'm one of those time travel buffs. So time, is just great from that perspective also.
I like that because it adds an interesting element that it means it's not just CGI fights with aliens coming out of the sky. It does always devolve into, but at least he's got the added element of the, you know, time and space and all that kind of stuff.
Correct. Yeah, that's why I like that also.
Also, on a very different note, I forgot to mention something last minute.
Okay.
And it just dawned on me. I said when we were talking about the Tom Hanks performances, I had a bit of an outlier to mention after my five. One I wanted to give him credit for that's not really regarded as a good movie. And I forgot to mention it. I think he needs a lot of credit for what he was able to do in the movie Cloud Atlas.
Interesting. Right?
It's not a beloved movie by any means, but he is giving it his all. It's some of it's insane, absolutely, but that's what he's being asked to do. And I think he really tries so hard to lift that film. And I don't mind it. I thought it was okay. But Tom Hanks is going so far. Like, without him, the whole thing would collapse, I think. It would just be nonsense. So credit to him for what he tried to do.
Right. I mean, I gotta say, I'm not the biggest fan of Cloud Atlas.
Most people aren't, don't worry.
I found it to drag on too much. It was a very, very long movie, and it was hard to really figure out what it is that they were trying to do with it.
Right, yeah, you're not alone in thinking that, but cast your mind back as well and think about all the weird, like Tom Hanks was trying so much to pull off all these characters. He gave 110% effort. Whether the film worked or not, he did.
Okay, that's fair. But you know, again, Tom Hanks usually plays characters that you can relate to, and that's what you cannot relate to.
It's quite hard to relate to anyone in that movie. Yeah. Especially when they're all changing characters every 10 minutes.
That's true also. Okay, so minute 88 begins with a continuation of the scope shot of Jackson and Wade running up the mountain and ends with Upham running into the fog. So, I mean, one of the things that I found really, really interesting about this particular minute is that most of it is... it's not visual for us. It's more, it's more listening to the sounds of everything that's going on, because you hear stuff in the distance that you don't necessarily see and stuff like that.
Yes.
But what we ended with yesterday was is they were in the middle of the beginning of the assault on this radar tower, and Upham was standing behind, and we were getting the perspective from Upham about the whole thing. And this minute begins with Upham continuing to watch as Wade is following Jackson up the hill. Wade keeps ducking, because of the fire that because of the shots coming out and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We get to see a view from afar where Miller throws a grenade, and then the German catches it and throws it back, and then it
That
explodes.
was so. It was like cool, but without being over the top. And like, I could imagine that's probably happened. Someone probably gave them a story about this, and it's like, oh, that's going in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, you see it in movies often with that type of thing, for better or for worse. And in this particular case, it works, especially because it's we see this happening in the distance. It's not even something that's happening nearby. And it makes it a little more believable that we're the fly on the wall watching this stuff happening, and you see this grenade get thrown, and then you have enough time to see someone, pick it up and throw it back.
It's absolutely wild. I love it. Although it did inadvertently, it because of this one moment, I think it, but then became a thing in every single video game ever. Oh, you can throw the grenades back, and it's like, oh, I've seen that done. Come up with a new thing. The Saving Private Ryan did it.
Yeah, I mean, there are stories of people who have done it. I mean, I know of a personal story of someone who threw back 8 grenades before the 9th one took his life. But,
wow.
But still,
Well, I think that's the thing, isn't it? People might say, oh, why would you do that? Say, well, you're going to die anyway. You might as well give it a shot, right?
Exactly.
Can't hurt to try.
True. That's very true. Because it's not as if you have anywhere to cover. You can't go grab cover somewhere.
No, exactly. This guy's in that, I want to call it like a bunker thing. Where's he going to run to? He's got second. Just throw it, and it works.
Correct. And it definitely works because it explodes. He doesn't have enough time to throw it back at Miller. He throws it around him, and therefore it explodes away from Miller. The whole thing.
That's another realistic bit, I think. Any other movie might have it. He throws it back right at the guy and kills him, so it's quite refreshing actually to have a movie where grenades, because in action films this happens, they don't take 8 billion years to explode. They in a lot of action films they take as long as they need to complete the scene.
I like the way they do that. They do a great job of showing us up him, like he takes the scope away from his eye at the time because he's shaken up by this whole thing. He's like, I can't believe that they just did that. It's like, whoa.
I think he's not expecting it to be as visceral as it is,
Correct. Which I guess makes sense. Because here's a guy who doesn't really know about what's going on.
No, he's like again, I don't mean this in an insulting way, but he's like a desk guy, isn't he? He helps logistically.
Correct. Then we see a whole bunch of, we see 3 more explosions going on around the area. Assuming that Miller and his men are the ones throwing these grenades. And Upham is just fascinated, is continuing to watch the whole thing. And then we get a close-up shot of the scope itself, which I think is great because they show that this small little piece of equipment is able to give you such a broad view of something.
Oh, yeah. It's opened you up to a new world in a way.
Then they show us the view once again from the scope. Where we see the way that they're fighting and they're running along and stuff like that. It seems to be close quarter fighting between the two sides, between Miller and his men and the Germans. I don't know how close they actually get, but but it seems as if it's relatively close.
Yeah.
And then we see a few more explosions, I think another three explosions, which we see also causes a lot of damage. But we can hear, you know, shots still ringing out. And then at a certain point, there's just complete silence.
That's scary, isn't it? Because that could mean anything to this guy. That could be like, we won, or it could be everyone I'm with is dead.
Correct. And they're going to be coming for me soon.
Yeah, wow, yeah. This is what's great, and you've mentioned this, that we didn't really see a lot. So we're in the dark, like he is. We don't know what's happened. Maybe they're all dead. Maybe one's dead. Maybe two are dead. Maybe it went perfectly. Maybe the enemy surrendered. We don't know, because you could just hear shouting in general.
Correct. And it's great the way that they do it, because it's allowing us to wonder what's really going on.
Mm-hmm. So few movies can pull that off well.
Yes, and this movie does.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why he's one of the best directors. He can somehow do this. Put this in other people's hands. They wouldn't put in shots like what we've been getting, you know?
That is probably true. And I guess that's part of the idea here. You know, it's to keep us, on the fence, trying to figure out, you know, what's really happening. You know, is this something are they going to find a way to surprise us?
They are.
Okay, but you don't know that when you're first watching this movie.
No, and you don't expect what's the outcome of this, I don't think.
Correct. Which again, it's done on purpose.
I mean, at the very end, you do assume maybe something good has happened, or good, you know, for war, because you do hear shouting in English specifically. So it's like, oh, okay, so some of them are at least alive. Something has happened here. They're not all dead.
They give us those moments of silence beforehand.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. That's what really, you know, jumps out. You know, the fact that they give us, even if it's just a few seconds of silence, there's I don't know if calm before the storm is the right term, but it's completely silent.
I've heard that people who, you know, have been in combat and things, they do say that the silence is, in a way, that's like the scarier bit, because it's so weird and alien at that point of like, oh, that sounds unnatural.
Correct. And I guess that makes sense.
Well, yeah, because usually if it's quiet, something drastic has happened either way.
Correct. I mean, it could be a good thing also, but you never know.
Yeah.
The way that they do this.
And I think as well, if it ever is quiet, you know that, well, it's not going to be for long, so don't enjoy that.
Right. That's true also. And we see the look on Upham's face, you know, that he's not sure what the quiet all means, and then we hear in the distance shouting from Mike from afar, where he goes, "Hill's clear, four down and dead."
Yay.
And then Miller screams, "Upham, grab the gear, get up here. We need water and extra dressing now." What's funny is, take this out of context, you know, "We need water and extra dressing." It sounds like something you could say that you're in a restaurant.
Yeah. Can I have the bread? Okay. No, that makes you immediately go, oh, okay. So it didn't go completely smoothly then, because he, you know, he wants the medical kit essentially. So it's like, oh, someone's been hit then, you would assume.
And I love the way how they again keep us in the dark as to what's really going on and who's been hit and who's been injured. You know, we only hear their voices.
Yeah.
You know, we hear Mike and Miller's voices, and that's it. And it's like, okay, who could they be talking about?
Yeah, it could be all of them except for those two, you know?
Correct. It's definitely possible.
But could it even be for the Germans, you know, because a lot of the time you don't want to, you know, if you can take a prisoner, you'll take a prisoner. In their case, maybe not, because they're on a very specific mission, but you never know.
No.
Exactly. And they do at one point take a prisoner. So it's not completely crazy.
No, they take a prisoner, but they're not, you know, taking care of his wounds.
That's true.
You know, that's the difference.
I think in a lot of situations, if they weren't on this secret undercover kind of trek, then they probably would dress wounds and like, hey, okay, you're arrested now, you know, we'll look after you. But they haven't got that luxury, I don't think, with what they're doing.
Correct. Because we're, again, I love the shock factor here. That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
They want us to wonder what happened. You know, the whole idea of the fog is the fog of war, that you don't know what's really happening and what you can see and what you can't see and all that stuff.
It's so clever that this movie doesn't, it's not like a one trick pony, because, you know, the start of the movie is the opposite. As we've talked about, the start of the movie is completely in your face and visceral, and you see everything, whether you want to or not, you see everything. So they could have just kept doing that throughout the whole film. That would be fine. That would work. But no, Spielberg's like, we've done that. We're going to do a different approach in this battle. And most of the battles have a different approach in some form, I think. It's very, very smart.
That's again, the idea. You know, let's give them something different each time, because if it's the same, it's just going to be boring.
Exactly. And I think that's why every sort of major battle in this, you remember it. It sticks out in your mind. You don't forget any of those at all. Whereas a lot of action movies that I enjoy, it kind of just washes over you after a bit, doesn't it? Like, oh, well, you know.
that again, that's what they're doing. They're showing that viewpoint.
Yeah, I can go get a drink while this is happening. It's fine, you know.
Exactly. I know what's going to happen there.
Complete opposite in this.
Correct. So, yeah, I like the way they do that. Makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, Upham then jumps into action, picks up the gear and starts running up the hill. And he also grabs the extra rifle, and he like drags everything with him up the hill. And then we hear Mike scream out, "Get the morphine out of the extra medical kit."
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
No, it says the same thing. You know, so I makes you wonder where the extra medical kit is. I guess it must be something that Upham is carrying. You know, because, you know, we did see Wade take off some of his gear.
Yeah. That initially, when I first watched the movie, I was a bit confused. Like, oh, why would you ditch your gear? And then, you know, as you start to understand more about the world, you're like, well, it makes sense. You need to move. You're a soldier. And if you die, then you don't care. You're dead. If you survive, well, you can go and get it again. You just go pick it up, you know?
It's less, you know, restraining.
Yeah. So I guess that's where he got the, you know, he just picked up all of his stuff, you know, all the medic's gear. Yeah.
Because why do you need to take all the medic gear with you?
Well, exactly. Because if someone gets shot, well, as we're about to see, you know, you might not have a lot you can do in the moment. Yeah.
And then as Upham continues running up the mountain, he like hits this fog. You know, fog, smoke. And, you know, he starts to see the others, but he can't really see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I love the way that they do this in order to, you know, keep us in the dark. We don't know exactly what's been going on and what's happening here. And that's what they want. They want us to wait another few seconds, or for people listening now, till tomorrow, to get an idea as to you know what has happened and what will happen.
Yeah, wow, it's heavy. Prepare yourselves, listeners.
Yeah, well, again, it's great. You know, and one of the things that I've said many times, not just with this movie, but with any movie, that it's unfortunate that once you see a movie, you know, you most of these type of scenes, you will never get to once again take in the same way.
Yeah, you know, no, totally true. Because the first time it is like you assume, oh, it'll all be okay. You know?
Correct. And no, again, this movie has numerous places where you say to yourself, well, if I wish I could forget everything that I know about this movie, you know, in order to be fully surprised about everything that goes on.
But at the same time, right? Try and be positive. At the same time, it means you can then view it through a different lens. Like I enjoy showing someone my favorite movies if they haven't seen them, because I get to experience it through their eyes almost.
Correct.
And it's fun that I know what's going to happen and they don't.
True. I mean, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I've told this story numerous times. I remember seeing online a few years ago that apparently someone was sharing a story of their father who had some sort of medical disease, you know, that he would have like short-term memory type of thing. And every day they would let him sit and watch his favorite movie, The Empire Strikes Back, and watch his reaction every time he finds out that Darth Vader is Luke's father. You know, so like it's a bittersweet type of story, because on the one hand, it's very sad that this is the situation. But on the other hand, think about the joy that this man has every single time that he watches that.
Yeah.
Not knowing that he already knew he had already seen it hundreds of times, I'd say.
That'll be coming soon. You'll have the ability to delete it from your memory.
Well, I don't know if we want that. I think that's going in a direction where we don't necessarily want to go.
Oh, yeah. I'm not saying it's a good thing. But I think it might happen, you know.
The eternal spotless of the mind, you know.
Yeah.
Eternal sunshine of the spotless mind. That's what, right.
Also a great movie.
It gives one lots to ponder.
Yeah.
That's how this minute ends. Did you have anything else you want to say about this minute?
I just love the drama. The drama, it keeps you on the edge of your seat. It's fascinating. Love it, love it, love it. Technically, not a lot's happening. And I mean that in the best possible way. Because it doesn't need to, because it's like real life. It's a war. It's horrible. It doesn't need to be over the top. It already is over the top in its nature.
Correct. But the way that they tell this story is just like, wow. You know?
Yeah. You could do this so poorly in the wrong hands. Just show them running, shooting, blah, 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 blah. And it's over in 2 seconds, and it's, like, not dramatic. But Spielberg, as always, nails it.
Correct. All right.
But actually, I just thought of something. It reminds me, because I keep saying it's like a documentary. If people haven't seen this, it's amazing. There's an old British documentary called The World at War. It's great. I've got the DVD of it. There's about, oh, God. There's about 12 discs in the set or something. It's massive. It's like 40 hours long or something. And it was made, I'm going to say, maybe the 60s. So, you know, a lot of the people they're talking to fought in the war. And they're speaking to, like, Soviet generals and stuff as well. Like, they include people from across the board. And it reminds me of some of the footage you see in that. You get some amazing footage in it. It's crazy. Stuff you would think, oh, they didn't film that. They absolutely filmed that. and it's quite brutal sometimes, because it tries to show you everything, you know. But I'd recommend everybody watch that. The World at War. Find it.
Oh, wow. Okay. Very cool. So every Wednesday, we have a segment called World War II Wednesday, where my guests will give their top five World War II themed movies.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure this was not easy for you. But
no.
But you don't come here to be catered to.
I had to make some big decisions, and I had to leave out two that I didn't want to leave out, just because I'm trying to be a bit, I don't know, I'm trying to include something for everyone. So I left out Grave of the Fireflies, the Japanese animated film, which is one of my favorite movies, but I've only seen it twice because it's too depressing to ever watch regularly. but it's not specifically about war in the normal sense. So I didn't include it in that. It's about how it affects the children of Japan and families and society and things like that, which is very important. But I was trying to think a bit differently here. So I left that out, but everyone needs to watch it. It's just because it's animated, don't expect it to hold back on things. It's wow, it's something else. I put it up there with like Schindler's List in depression. And I also left out one I only just watched somehow, Merry Christmas Mr. Lawrence, with David Bowie, strangely, which is why everyone assumed I'd seen it, because I'm a big Bowie fan. I have a Bowie tattoo, but I was like, no, never watched it. And I watched it recently. Nobody told me Takeshi Kitano was in it, one of my favorite actors. Great movie. I recommend everyone watch that. But since it's so new to me, I didn't include it in my five because I only just watched it. And I think recency bias, I tried to avoid. So number five, I have put one that's a very important story to where I am from. Dunkirk. It's a big, very big heroic tale here in England about how normal people saved, you know, thousands of soldiers' lives when the government couldn't and wouldn't do anything. It's insane, and it's a great movie. It's very dramatic. It's got a kind of a ticking clock kind of vibe. You know, it's if they don't get evacuated, they're all gonna die essentially. And it's about, like, I don't know how big the story is to Americans. I don't know how, because I imagine your listeners are mostly American. If you don't know this,
from all over the world. International stuff.
Yeah, see, we ours are, but I think the overwhelming percentage, when I look at the percentages, it's like, yeah, most of our listeners are in California. It's like, well, I don't know why, but there you go. So Americans, if you don't know the story, it's an important one in the war. I think it's essentially it was Germany taking over Europe, and we had to run away and retreat and regroup and go, oh God, what are we gonna do? And normal people went and saved all the soldiers in boats because they were screwed. Great movie. Number four. It was hard to put this at number four because I was weighing up putting this at even two. That's how competitive this list was. Number four is the German movie Downfall, Der Untergang. It's about the last days of Adolf Hitler, and it's based on a book written by his secretary about what it was like in his bunker and him losing his mind and going off the rails and stuff like that. It's a very important movie, I think, because it really, it makes you realize that someone that bad is a real person. They're not a cartoon villain. Like, real people can be like this man. So it's important to learn that and be wary of that in the world. And it's just fascinating seeing this, like, secret information that she had. It's not, like, scandalous either. She's not like, oh, he was up to all kinds of depraved things. You know, she's being serious. Like, it's all true, allegedly. And that's a very, very good film. And the actor, Bruno Ganz, is great, dare I say, at playing Adolf Hitler. And, you know, he spent a lot of time studying the accent, even, because it doesn't mean much to me, but apparently it was a very specific accent he had. So he went and, like, learned from where he was from. And you've all probably seen the meme of him shouting at his generals.
I've seen the movie and the shouting, yes.
Yeah, I think everyone knows the meme. And, you know, that's a great bit as well. It divorced that scene from the meme, right? It's an amazing scene because he's basically saying to the generals, I want you all to counterattack and do this. And the generals are saying to him, we can't. We've lost, basically. And he's like, no, you're cowards. You're cowards. You, and it, they're trying to be honest with him. Like, no, it's over, man. We're done. And then a complete tonal shift in a way. But it's also got there are some connecting themes, I think. Number three, I have put Jojo Rabbit.
Which,
yeah, people might go, oh, isn't that that silly comedy movie where there's a kid who's friends with fake Adolf Hitler? Yes, right? But it's actually got really serious themes running under it about, like, manipulation and propaganda and, you know, the effect you can have on children and the next generation and all this kind of thing. Because this kid's been brought up to be a Nazi. That's why Hitler's his best friend. It's not just silly. He's like, oh, he wants to be like him. He admires him. But throughout the movie, the imaginary Hitler, when the kid starts shifting because he befriends like a Jewish girl, he starts turning on him and it gets really horrible and dark. And he's like, you know, he's shouting at this kid and saying he's betrayed him and all this. So it's like what's going on internally in the kid's head. It's very interesting. And on top of that, it's got silly comedy. It's wonderful. And casting, you know, Taika Waititi, casting himself as a kind of camp Maori Adolf Hitler is the greatest insult to Adolf Hitler. It's fantastic. It's everything he would have hated. Wonderful.
my favorite scene in that movie is the they're hailing everyone, you know, where they have to keep hailing each other.
Yes. Oh, God. Because, again, right, it's silly and it's over the top, but it's not that divorced from the truth. Like, they would have to do things like that. Obviously, it exaggerates it slightly, but that's the kind of ridiculous world they were living in, you know? It's wild. It's a great movie. I recommend everybody watch that. Number two is the Italian film Life is Beautiful, La Vita è Bella. I can't say too much about this without spoiling it for people. But what I will say is it starts off as a slapstick Italian romantic comedy. And then halfway through, they all get taken away to a concentration camp. And it's a very big tonal shift, as you can imagine. And it's about dealing with that. Because, again, that's kind of realistic, right? He was living a normal life, having fun, romancing a lady. And then all of a sudden, his life's completely changed and everything's different now. So that's how I imagine it would have been for a lot of people. You know, especially in Italy, where they were like, up until near the end, they were a bit divorced from all of that side of stuff, you know. And then all of a sudden, the Germans come over and go, "Ah, yeah, we're taking control now because you've screwed up." And they bring even worse stuff than the Italians were already going through. If I say too much more about it, it will ruin it. It's very, very moving. I know some people might not like the slapsticky bit at the beginning. I do, but if you don't worry, right? It's to establish a shift in tone. It's important. You'll understand once you've seen the whole thing. And I believe it won. Did it win an Oscar? I think it might have won an Oscar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is rare for a foreign language movie.
It won best foreign picture and best actor. And
best actor.
We won best music also.
Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, and then sadly, at least over here, he didn't really follow it up with anything anywhere near as good. I think he wasn't a Pinocchio, but he's like a middle-aged man being Pinocchio. It's weird. But this is perfect. I was forced to watch this at school, and I was so, like, into it. I just went and bought it immediately. I was like, oh, I'm watching that again. Like, and that's rare for a movie you're shown at school. And number one, Saving Private Ryan. I'm not just saying it because I'm on your show. I think it's the best, because I think it captures what I imagine it to be like. And it, you know, it starts off with one of the most important, dramatic, daring, insane things that's ever happened. In the world, but it did, and it's true. And I think then You get some people saying, oh, it's a bit ridiculous, though, isn't it? The plot about them going to find this guy. And it's like, to me, the actual saving Private Ryan is one of the least important parts of the whole movie. You know, that the fact that they're doing that is irrelevant to me most of the time. It's the journey. And I know that sounds really cheesy, but it's the journey is the important part. And correct. It's in a way, I think it kind of encapsulates a bit of the futility, like, because what they're doing, okay, yeah, it's nice for his mom, but what happens along the way to do this one little thing? It's, you know, it's a nice thing for one man and for one family, but all these other people have suffered along the way. It's like, oh wow, but I think there's no getting out of that either, is there? Because if they're not doing this, they're just going to be in another battle. So.
Sure.
You know, they're all probably going to die anyway. That's the depressing, sad thing. So you might as well try and do something good while you're there.
That is very good.
And you do get a lot of English people who are a bit in the middle on the movie because they say, oh well, it's another case of Americans, you know, centering themselves and making themselves the most important. And normally with movies, I agree that they do that. But I don't think that's the case here. I think the reason it focuses on these people is because it's one specific tiny group of people who are on this specific beach at this specific time. They're not really going to come across the English armies, you know? So I don't have a problem with it myself. When it's a war movie about the grander scheme, then yeah, that is a bit ridiculous. But this is very, it's like a small story that represents the wider sort of conflict. So I don't know. I have no problem with them not meeting English people or Australian people and all this.
Okay, excellent. So John, would you like to once again tell people where they can find you?
Yeah, find me wherever. I don't know. Just Google me. look at Batminute. I'll be all over the place there. Or look up my character Cantina Turner. That's who I am in the band, and that's what most of my socials are.
All right. Excellent. And finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. You can send me an email to movearoundminute@movierob.net. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on Twitter. And you can find me on Facebook. So, until tomorrow, earn this.
Earn this.